Sir Mulberry Hawk, in his pursuit of Miss Kate Nickleby, has arranged a theatre visit, using Kate's mother and her new employer, Mrs. Wititterly, to whom Kate acts as companion. But the listener being as yet unacquainted with Mrs. Wititterly, we should perhaps meet the lady.
I am, as you may see, of an excitable nature, a hothouse flower and delicate, I say delicate, exotic. I feel as only a fine spirit can, the very... Miss Nickleby?
Effort, Mrs. Wititterly, was that the word?
Roughness, coarseness of the everyday world. My nerves are too near the surface. What is it we are to see tonight?
King Lear, I believe.
The divine Shakespeare. Divine, but so very wearing.
I believe in this production the king is to be reunited with his daughter, who marries happily.
And what is this? All this secrecy?
Secrecy, Mrs. Wititterly.
Some scheme of your mother's. A fine woman, let nothing be
said. Kate knows nothing of what has passed between her mother and Sir Mulberry Hawk, nor of Mrs. Nickleby's invitation, at Hawk's prompting, to Mrs. Wititterly. As far as she knows, it is an evening at the theatre in the Wititterly family box, and that the box next door has been taken by...
Why, Miss Nickleby! What a surprise.
Sir, I hardly thought...
Mrs. Wititterly, is it not?
It is, sir.
How could it not be? My good friend, Mrs. Nickleby, mother to your charming companion, speaks so highly of your taste, ma'am, has talked often to me of your great spirit. Yes, a great spirit.
She has, but I have barely met the lady. Only when I interviewed her daughter for the position of my companion.
A hawk, ma'am. Sir Mulberry.
Sir Mulberry?
And at this very moment, as the curtain is about to rise upon the sublime drama of the sublime Shakespeare.
So intense, so exhausting.
At this very moment, in the very next box, my good friend Lord Verisoft is with Mrs. Nickleby, and
what?
They're expecting you to join them for the benefit of your...
Lord Verisoft?
Intense, great spirit. He... craves your company, ma'am. Pray go through, and I will look after the companion.
Sir, I do not need...
Go, blithe spirit.
Attend, my lord! We shall express our darker purposes...
Kate shrinks back into the corner of the box and refuses to look at or acknowledge Sir Mulberry in any way as the play proceeds. After the interval, Kate manages to ensure that the door between the boxes is kept open. Though it is with considerable concern, she sees the ease with which Sir Mulberry wraps her mother and Mrs. Wititterly around his little finger. The play continues.
No wind and crack your teeth.
The bad come to a bad end, the good come to a bad end. But that's tragedy. And the performance...
We that are young...
comes to an end.
Shall never see so much... nor live so long.
So touching! So sublime, Miss Nickleby, sublime. Would you not say it? Lord Verisoft, what would you say?
Don't hurry.
You must not try and stop me, sir.
Oh, my dear creature, now why don't you give up this show of being angry?
Show? How can you... How dare you come here and...
Oh, God, you look so pretty in a passion.
If you find anything pretty in looks of disgust, then please let me join Mrs. Wititterly and my mother now. Because if you don't, I may do something that will cause even you to feel embarrassment.
Sir Mulberry smiles, takes her arm, and walks her to the door.
I said let me go.
Why, you can go wherever you want, Katie.
My brother will find you one day, Sir Mulberry Hawk.
Maybe. But not today. Shall we go down? Mrs. Wititterly's carriage is no doubt waiting.
I will be glad to go.
No, don't worry. We'll meet again. Journey's end, don't you know?
Good night, sir.
Miss Nickleby, how now do?
Oh, Mrs. Wititterly.
The air is not good for my constitution after Shakespeare. Good night, Lord Frederick. Sir Mulberry, sir.
Sublime.
To meet you. Do call. Good night. Oh, I shall be ill, all that passion and shouting.
Well, don't I deserve your gratitude? You're a devilish good fellow, Hawk. Be lost without you.
And here we are, with entry right into the very house. Right?
Right.
So your dog couldn't have done better for you, could it?
No, you're right. You're a damn good friend to me.
Cherisette, said the Lady Flavella, inserting her mouse-like feet into the blue satin slippers.
The following afternoon, and Kate is reading another chapter to Mrs. Wittitterly from a sublime romance of the high romantic and sublime kind.
The Salon de Dance the previous night.
Charming, poetic, so voluptuous, is it not?
Yes, very soft.
Close the book, I shall hear no more today. You look pale, my child.
Oh, it was the fright of the noise and confusion of last night.
How did you come to know Lord Frederick and that other distinguished gentleman?
I met them at my uncle's.
Have you known them long?
No, not long.
I was very glad of the opportunity your mother, such a respectable lady, gave me of meeting them. Do thank her.
Yes, of course.
They asked if they might call. I said, of course, you may.
You said they may?
And why should I not?
Oh, no, of course you may. I wondered if they were going to call... Oh, please, I must leave you. Go to my room.
Nonsense, my dear child. It will be an education for you to see men and women of the world engage in sophisticated and, if I may say, sublime conversation.
But
I have long thought of opening a salon of the arts, you know. Lord Verisopht, Sir Mulberry, do come in.
Delighted, I'm sure.
Ma'am, how do you do? Miss Nickleby, how are you?
Why, she complained of a fright last night. Of what I can feel for her. My nerves are quite torn to pieces.
Yet you look... she looks... don't she, Verisopht?
Devilishly beyond everything.
Oh, my lord, you flatter me.
Do I? I say, Miss Nickleby, I should like to flatter you. Don't you look a peach, okay?
I'm sure some of Mrs. Wittitterly's sublime beauty has been imparted from the mistress to the companion. Yes, Miss Kate. Youth and beauty reign supreme here, I think. Right, Verisopht?
Right for Miss Nickleby, right as rain, eh? The devil, what was it you said, Hawk?
Like the rain, we must not be here too long. We have another call to make upon the Duke of...
The Duke?
If we are no longer strangers...
Friends, quite friends.
Then we will call again.
And they go away to visit the Duke of... And they call again and again over the next week, making their purpose the more obvious, making Mrs. Wittitterly more angry, discontented... and unsublime, as she begins to suspect the charm of the house is not in her, but in her companion.
Miss Nickleby, I am anxious that you should do well.
Ma'am?
But you will not, if you go on as you do. And do not suppose that by looking at me in that way, you will prevent me speaking. I am not Sir Mulberry. I am not Lord Frederick. Oh, you have no respect at all for your betters. That these two gentlemen should visit this house, feel comfortable here.
I don't think anyone would actually believe what I seem to be doomed to undergo.
I will not be answered in that manner, Miss Nickleby. Do you hear me?
I do, with surprise.
I really must insist you cease this improper forward behavior with these two gentlemen. This ceaseless making up to them. It is not respectable.
Oh, this is too much. Not only do I have to put up with the attentions of these wretched men, I'm to be accused of making up to them.
Have the goodness to recall who it is who makes these charges. Are you saying that I am a liar?
Yes. It is unjust. Yes, it is a lie. How can you, a woman, sit there and believe this nonsense? These men are...
That is enough. Thank you, my dear.
Had Kate more experience, she wouldn't have been so injudicious in her words, but she is hurt, deeply hurt, by the unfairness of it all. Mrs. Wititterly brushes it aside and collapses into total hysterics.
Oh, how could you do this to me, girl? After all I have done for you!
The doctor is sent for, Kate is sent to her room, and later, despairing of what to do, of who to ask for help, for advice, goes to the only person she knows with any power at all, her Uncle Ralph. Perhaps she has seen somewhere in the man that glimmer of something better, and hopes it may light her way out of this darkness. Perhaps. She is admitted by Mr. Newman Noggs, who notes and files away her distress. He shows her into Ralph Nickleby's office.
Well, my dear, what now?
Uncle, I...
She can't go on, and Ralph?
I can guess the cause of this. Well, what did I say? A few tears, only a few tears. What is the matter, Kate?
I have been wronged by your friends.
Friends? I have no friends, girl.
You know very well who I mean.
You have some of your brother's temper, I see.
I hope so. I should be proud of it. And, Uncle, I have to tell you, I will not bear this any longer. I have gone on day after day in the hope that this persecution will stop. That these men... This man...
Hawk?
I have no one. Mama thinks they are honorable. I have come to you because you are the only one I know who might help me.
Help you how?
Well, they listen to you. Can't you make them stop? Go away. Leave me alone.
No, I can't say that anything I might do that... No, we are connected in business, and I can't afford to offend them. What is it, after all? We all have our trials, and this is one of yours. Oh, surely it's not much to let this young fellow dribble his inanities into your ears. Let it be. It won't last.
No, I will not let it be. Oh, don't worry, Uncle. I won't disgrace you. You help me find the place at Mrs. Wititterly's. I won't go against my agreement with her, but I will not see these men again. And when I may leave, then I shall do so, and I shall hide from them. And if life will be hard, at least it will be honest.
She turns and leaves the room. Ralph stands unmoving, thinking, and it is one of the mysteries of human nature that though he has turned the girl away, that though his friends have done exactly as he wished them to do, he still hates them for doing it. From the bottom of his soul.
Oh, you too shall pay for this. You shall pay for this.
Farewell.